This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1583. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially shortwave. On this edition, recorded September 21st, Albania, Antarctica, Australia, Austria, Bangladesh, Brazil, Cambodia, China, Costa Rica, Diego Garcia, France, Germany, Indonesia, Iran, Kuwait, Libya, Madagascar, Netherlands, Papua New Guinea, Romania, Russia, Sikkim, Spain, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Drita Ciccio of Radio Tirana, Albania wrote us, "We lost our oldest son, Parid, at age 29 on 7 September. What terrible news. Our deepest condolences to Drita and her family. Perhaps she can eventually tell us what happened, but that explains why we had not heard from her lately. Meanwhile, Radio Tirana continues absent from shortwave. Last week, we reported that LRA 36 Antarctica had finally come back on the air to 15476. After almost 2 months of absence. We heard it on a Thursday and a Tuesday, and that's explained by Roberto Scaglione in Sicily, who has indirect contacts with the station. He says they've been reactivated, but only on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The reason they were off was that a storm broke through the windows and the snow came onto the transmitter, and he sent three photos of the 5-kilowatt transmitter. First in fine condition, then a close-up, and finally one of it all covered with snow. And I've included links to these in my log reports and in the new DX Listening Digest 11-38. However, since then, we've not heard them again, checking just about every day of the week, including Thursdays and Tuesdays. But keep checking 15476. The previous schedule was between 12:30 and 15 UT. Some frequency plans for the upcoming B-11 season starting the end of October are beginning to emerge. Wolfgang Büschel says Radio Australia plans to use exactly 19,000 kilohertz from Shepparton between midnight and 02 UT. And also Austria is moving to 18,910 via long path between 09 and 9:35 daily except Sundays toward Australia and New Zealand. It'll be interesting to see if that works on such a high frequency over a partly darkness path. Also about Austria, DX Mix News reports that they've changed frequency for the broadcast to the Americas only in German. 9820 replaced by 9830 between midnight and 01 UT. I checked this September 21st and found they did not actually come on the air until midnight 30. Perhaps the shift was in order to avoid the off-frequency heterodyne from Brazil, just below 9820. Note it is Tuesday through Saturday only. Ron Howard in California says he heard Bangladesh Betar on 4750, September 19th at 1403, had not heard it in a while, with their distinctive bagpipes and subcontinental music. News in apparent Bengali at 14:05, holding its own against two other stations on the frequency, RRI in Makassar, Indonesia, and CNR1 in China. That's the only active shortwave frequency we know of from Bangladesh. Too bad they have to pile up with two others. And we're still waiting for them to activate a new shortwave transmitter, hopefully on a different frequency. You may have noticed the 10-meter band has been opening up lately due to some higher solar activity. But there's a lot more than ham radio appearing on some of these higher frequencies. In the Radio Escudas group, Fran G. Jr. reports from Sao Paulo hearing Radio Rio Mar from Manaus on 29090 FM. Probably an internal link at the station, intended for ground wave reception only. Their medium wave frequency is 1290. Heard this at 2000 UT and posted a couple of clips of it on YouTube. That's 29090 FM for Radio Rio Mar, which is also, of course, on AM shortwave 9695 plus variable. In mid-September, the High Frequency Coordination Conference, HFCC, was holding one of its twice-yearly meetings in Dallas, Texas. This was a golden opportunity for me to visit HFCC. It's probably never going to be closer than that to Oklahoma. So I did so on September 14th and 15th. My great pleasure to meet a lot of frequency managers from shortwave stations around the world and to find out some useful information. Ludo Mas of TDP was there. We'd met him once before in Dallas at a DRM conference, and he told us about two Cambodian clients just starting up this week. One is Khmer Post Radio. You may remember it was on the air for a while last year, but it has resumed as of September 21st via Palau, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday only at 12 to 13 UT on 9960. It's an opposition service based in Long Beach, California. Their website is www.thekhmerpost.com. And we heard it on the first day around 12:30 UT. 9960 is co-channel to radio teletype. I guess it's not a problem over there. And it's squeezed between two Dentro-Cuban jamming command channels against WRMI and Radio Republica. But nevertheless, we were able to hear the Khmer broadcast. It cut off at 12:59 after a quick ID for T8WH Palau. Furthermore, Ludo Mas told us there's a second Cambodian clandestine on the same frequency and time, but on Saturdays only. It already started September 17th, although we missed hearing it then. It's called KPPM Radio. It stands for Khmer People's Power Movement. According to their website, it's based in Fresno, California. See www.kppmradio.org, not to be confused with a U.S. call sign. By the way, a full report on my experiences at HFCC appears in the new DX Listening Digest number 11-38 via worldofradio.org. KimAndrewElliott.com quotes a press release from Representative Dana Rohrabacher of California, September 13th. He and others have introduced H.R. 2899, the Chinese Media Reciprocity Act of 2011. It would require the Department of State to issue the same number of visas to Chinese state media workers as China issues to American journalists working for the BBG. During fiscal year 2010, approximately 650 Chinese citizens entered the U.S. on international journalist visas, compared to only two American BBG journalists granted permission to be stationed in China, an alarming disparity. However, Kim Elliott comments, this could have a bizarre outcome, China challenging the law in U.S. federal courts on First Amendment grounds. Whatever the result, it would publicize the lack of reciprocity. As we've reported several times, the off-frequency Elcor transmitter in Costa Rica carrying Radio Republica on 5954.2 variable produces a heterodyne with Radio Nederland, which is properly on 5955 exactly, starting at 0500 to Europe. And, of course, Republica also draws Cuban jamming. At HFCC, I heard that Radio Nederland has attempted to get Elcor back on frequency by giving them a new crystal, but they hadn't got around to installing it. Although this may be frustrating, other big stations should be so proactive in trying to get rid of Latin heterodynes, if not Latin transmitters, on the same channels. But now, Bob Wilkner in Florida reports a tentative reception of Republica much closer to the nominal frequency, only 30 hertz below 5955, at midnight UT, September 13th, under the jamming. On September 21st at 1640 UT, Alokesh Gupta in New Delhi, India reports, AFN Diego Garcia is back on the air after being off for more than a month, 4319 upper sideband with heavily distorted audio. Also check the day frequency, 12759. On September 16th, Mike Cooper wrote this about Radio France International. Union groups have issued a statement complaining about plans for the fusion liquidation of RFI and the Arabic affiliate MCD, meaning Monte Carlo Dualia. They say the idea is empty of any credible editorial content and doesn't convince anyone. They claim RFI and MDC are being pillaged for the France 24 television channel. The notion of public service and a guarantee of editorial independence is being totally diluted, the unions say. The labor groups contend that putting RFI in the same organization as France 24 jeopardizes the missions and existence of RFI and MCD. Look what happened at MCD, where the famous synergies with France 24 served no other purpose than the progressive extinction of radio for the sole benefit of television, the union statement says. At MCD, the relaunch plan is summed up by the heresy of broadcasting France 24 audio on the radio. When will we hear the sound of France 24 on RFI? Don't be fooled. The idea is included in the reorganization project presented by our Sorcerer's Apprentice directors, they are quoted as saying. According to a report in the communist daily Humanité, the planned move of RFI from Paris to suburban Issy-les-Moulineaux will be rejected by 92% of employees. Unions say the useless move could cost more than $50 million. In addition, the unions allege that RFI has been paying France 24's costs and salaries for the last 2 years without being compensated. They also contend there are numerous faults with the proposed new location, including health and safety issues. So I headlined this item, Woe is RFI. That's W-O-E, if not W-H-O-A. We now have the answer to last week's question about a new entry in the MBR schedule of a monthly broadcast on Sunday, the third Sunday of each month at 09 to 10 UT on 6045 via Wechtachtel, Germany. It's designated MSM. This was monitored by Wolfgang Büschel and others in Europe. On the air, they were using another abbreviation, which was hard to be sure of, but it turned out to be XVRB, X-ray Victor Romeo Bravo, leading to a website, www.xvrb.org, which identifies MSM as meaning the Music Museum. They plan to do a one-hour broadcast every month, a hobby operation, apparently, says Kai Ludwig in Germany. And Kai also points out that MSM really stands for MS Media, a Rotterdam-based company, for the initials by which the homepage is signed, Marcel Strucker. Here's quite an anomaly from Indonesia, well known as an Islamic nation. Victor Gunatelika in Sri Lanka says, observed since September 15th, evangelical U.S. English preaching with immediate Indonesian translation, phrase by phrase, on RRI Palangkaraya, 3325, between 1230 and 1320. He says, I guess they must be getting some money for this to keep their shortwave running. This tip also led to Ron Howard monitoring it. He picks that station up easily anyway. He says a very unique program started at 1233 until 1330, September 16th. Gospel Christian preaching by an impassioned African-American in English with a running translation in Bahasa Indonesia. An outdoor event held in a field locally in Palangkaraya. For example, he said, I am reading from God's book. This is God speaking to Palangkaraya. And mentioned tomorrow night and Sunday night, more sessions. Almost fair reception. It may have been an audio feed from TV coverage. Fascinating to hear this from Palangkaraya, Indonesia. Listening further to this, Ron Howard says the preacher, in fact, was clever enough to include a type of disclaimer, saying, I'm not here to lift up a religion. I have nothing to say about religion. I have come to preach the person, Jesus Christ. Also, Ron Howard reminds us that there's no credible evidence that the Papua New Guinea station on 3325 has been on the air at all during the past 2 years. So if you hear something from over there on that frequency, it's RRI Palangkaraya. World of Radio, number 1583. Your contributions, always welcome, by a check or money order in the mail to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702 USA, or via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com, the means which Brian Scott Gamble used to contribute. Many thanks to him. This September's HFCC in Dallas, which, as I said, I attended for a while, was the first inside the USA. One reason it's not been done before is that it's been difficult for some not-too-friendly countries to get visas to enter the country. But this time, Jeff White managed to arrange visas for a couple of delegates from Iran. And I talked to them briefly about a frequency problem. I also asked Jeff White, who organized the event, if there was a problem with the visas. He says most challenging were the Iranians because there's no U.S. embassy. The Iranians have to go to Dubai or Ankara normally in person to apply, and again to get their passports stamped if the visa is approved. And the appointments are normally limited to one day a month and have to be made a month in advance. It's really hard to get appointments for the Iranians. In the end, we were able to get special appointments for the Iranian delegates to HFCC Dallas at the U.S. Embassy in Azerbaijan, and the visas were approved relatively quickly. The IBB was of help during part of this procedure, and we appreciate their assistance. The matter I was taking up with the Iranians was the collision with Romania at 04 to 4:30 UT on 11920. That includes the English broadcast Voice of Justice starting at 03:30 and lasting a full hour. I brought this to the attention of them as well as the delegates from Romania. I don't know if they ever actually got together and worked it out, but that's what HFCC meetings in person are supposed to facilitate. So check what's happening at 0400 on 11920. The Romanians at least indicated they should have no problem in moving. Another collision I hope to facilitate resolving at HFCC Dallas is between Spain and Kuwait on 21540 for several hours, including around 1300 UT, when we hear both signals, in a mostly empty 13-meter band. They don't have to be on the same frequency, but they have been for months now. The frequency manager from Spain said it's been resolved, but I think he was referring to the B-11 season upcoming, not right away, because Kuwait has registered the 11-meter band, 25725, between 0105 and 1500 UT, aimed at Western Europe, and thus also toward North America. Apparently that's to replace 21540. That really raises my eyebrows, but it should be interesting, maybe propagating sometimes with a day path if they really wind up using 11 meters from Kuwait. I also spoke to the delegate from Kuwait. The lady was dressed in quite formal Arab garb, but not covering her face. She was under the impression that the 18 to 21 broadcast on 15540 is really in Arabic, as the schedules show, instead of English. I was attempting to persuade her to get the announcers to give the correct frequency instead of 11990, and I can only hope it will continue in English. From Egypt, Tarek Zeidan has been monitoring Libya and reported this on September 18th. I've been monitoring 1251 kilohertz for the past 3 days. It had been silent, but on September 15th, around 1900, they were back on the air with a new ID. Shabakat Radio wa Television Libya. Radio Libya min Trablos el-Asima. The Libyan radio and TV network, Radio Libya from Tripoli, the capital. First time he'd heard such an ID, it sounds like it's going to be the official one from now on. Mike Berkla forwards an item from Jonathan Marks on Facebook about a NATO USAF PSYOP call for duty, heard on 10404, presumably upper sideband, and a recording was posted. It was September 19th at 1300. A message to the Libyan Air Force and seaport authorities and all support staff to turn up for work. Mark Davies in Wales had also heard this the day before, September 18th at 1430, and posted his clip. Last week we reported that Radio Madagascar had prolonged its variance to 4910 instead of 5010. However, as of September 17th, Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania found them back on the old frequency 5010 at 0235, improving to a fair level by 245, and subsequently reported by many others back on 5010, Ron Howard in California, September 17th from 1410 to 1454, Mark Davies in Wales, September 17th after India closed at 1745, and Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal, September 17th before and after 1800. At HFCC Dallas, I had a nice conversation with Kevin Chambers, Director of Engineering at World Christian Broadcasting, based in Nashville, but operating KNLS in Alaska and building that new shortwave station, Madagascar World Voice. He told me now the target for Madagascar to start up is toward the end of the B11 season. A test schedule has been registered, effective as early as the 1st of February. Another reason I wanted to go to Dallas was to tour the Continental Electronics factory where they manufacture high-power shortwave transmitters, and it so happened that we saw the very transmitters destined for Madagascar, which have not yet been shipped, and they're not quite complete. Kevin told me the antennas are as wind-resistant as they can afford to build them, but cyclones periodically hit the area, even on the northwest coast of the island, and are bound to batter the station at some point. They hope to reach southern China better from Madagascar than they can from the other side via Alaska, where, by the way, they still are trying to get their second transmitter back on the air at KNLS. Ron Howard, California, reports hearing the local or regional program from Kamchatka on 5930. Radio Rossi, Kamchatka until 0800 UT September 13th. It's scheduled to start at 0710. And during this period, it is not parallel to other Radio Rossi relays on 5940 and 7315. Dmitry Mezin in Kazan, Russia, tells us of a shortwave test from Samara, Russia, on September 15th. The radio center there testing low-power shortwave transmitters in order to set up regional broadcasting in the near future. One was at 10 to 1020 UT on 4400 with 20 kilowatts, which he heard well, and the other one at 18 to 1820 on 6510 non-directional with 10 kilowatts. There was a 1,000 hertz tone and then a relay of Mayak. So keep an ear on those frequencies in case there's anything further, 4400 and 6510. A 6.8 magnitude earthquake in Sikkim on September 18th had Steve Lehr and us wondering about how All India Radio Gangtok was doing on 4835. Joe Jacob in southern India reported that he was still hearing it after the quake. However, on September 19th, Ron Howard was monitoring at 1305 and was still hearing 4835 from Gangtok. And in fact, reception was better than usual, and it was operating normally. But on the following day, September 20th, at 1323, it was off the air and then back on at 1340, perhaps some problems caused by the quake, such as power outages. DX Mix News Bulgaria reports some more frequency changes as of September 12th from BBC World Service in English. From midnight to 1, they're on 9410 via Thailand to South Asia, and 12095 via Singapore. 12095 had been via Thailand, and the Singapore broadcast moved from 11955. Also at 05 to 06, Ascension on 7255 replaces Rampisham on 11755. At 06 to 7, 7365 from Ascension instead of Skelton, 15105. And at 20 to 21, Skelton moves from a 13710 to 9850, those being to West Africa. Kim Andrew Elliott quotes from a newly discovered website called BBG Watch, which he says is a new clandestine website launched and maintained by former and current BBG and VOA employees and their supporters. It is anti-BBG and appears to be pro-VOA in the internecine rivalry among the entities of U.S. international broadcasting. It should make for interesting reading. Here's the Earl, www.usgbroadcasts.com/BBGWatch/. One of the items there I see is criticizing the new VOA director, David Ensor. It says he seems unaware that in addition to terminating VOA radio to China, the BBG also plans to terminate all VOA satellite television news broadcasts in Chinese. This plan is in line with the BBG's strategy in recent years to deprive VOA of most of its broadcasting capabilities. I was also pleased to meet at HFCC Dallas Tom Lucy of the Federal Communications Commission, who's in charge of shortwave frequency management. Everything private U.S. stations do is funneled through him. He told me that although KVOH in Los Angeles failed to renew its license and has been off the air for several months, now they have renewed it, so presumably they will be returning. You may recall 17775 was their only frequency, only in the daytime, but not on the air every day. He didn't say anything about a fine. Perhaps I should urge Tom Lucy at FCC to disallow anyone from broadcasting 10 or 20 kilohertz from the English language transmitter of WEWN, which, as I've been reporting, has been putting out squishy spurs both sides at approximately 9 and 18 kilohertz. And now I've been hearing a third pair of spurs, weaker ones, approximately 27 kilohertz offset from, for example, 15610. I met Glenn Tapley of WEWN, but didn't have a chance to discuss such technical problems with him. He did explain that when they go off the air for a few days in August, it's to mow their antenna field and check out or repair their grounding system, when of course everything must be turned off. We were glad to read in New Zealand DX Times from Brian Clark that he had fair reception of World of Radio, UT Thursday at 2100 on WTWW 9479. That was August 25th. You may recall there have been periodic reports over the last few years about Hal Turner being prosecuted for threatening federal judges. We remember him as a shortwave broadcaster, but lately he's identified as a New Jersey blogger. Mike Cooper finds stories from AP September 16th that Hal Turner was acquitted of threats to Connecticut officials. However, Hal Turner is currently serving a prison sentence in a federal case stemming from his criticism of a ruling in which a federal appeals court dismissed lawsuits challenging handgun bans in Chicago. Turner said at that time, "These judges must die." The propagation outlook from Boulder issued September 20th. ANK indices peaking at 15-4 on September 30th and again October 9th. Solar flux dropping from 140 September 22nd to a low of only 130 September 25th to October 1st and rising to a higher peak of 145 October 8th through 10th. And that concludes World of Radio number 1583. Glenn Hauser, hoping you'll hear me again next week.